just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. Raise your finger, no, the other one, as Backtime hollers, we're number one, and remembers these fantastic firsts that took place August 13th. Today, way, way back in 1889, William Gray of Hartford, Connecticut, patented the coin-operated telephone. On this date in 1907, you could use that phone to call cab. That's the day the first taxi cab took to the streets of New York City. And on this date, beginning in 1935, you could take that cab to see this, the first roller derby match held at the Coliseum in Chicago. That's Back Time for August 13th. This is your announcer speaking.
It's the Onion Radio News. A pregnant woman acts like no one ever got pregnant before. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Ever since she got herself knocked up 7 months ago, 27-year-old graphic designer Amy Glennon has been walking around the Calendars Inc. office acting like the Queen of Sheba just because she's pregnant, irritated co-worker Stephen DeGrazio.
I guess the only way I'm ever going to get a word in edgewise at this office is if I knock up some skank.
The mother-to-be's office baby shower later today is expected to consist of nearly 4 hours of chattering and cooing over stuff from the local Target store. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. eBay Captain of Industry.
Mr. eBay Captain of Industry.
Whether it's Grandma's prosthetic leg, a G.I. Joe with Kung Fu grip, or a water pump from a 79 Gremlin. You smell money where others smell garbage.
One man's trash is another man's auction.
Armed only with a digital camera, a PC, and a detailed knowledge of Yu-Gi-Oh cards, you, Mr. eBay Captain of Industry, have created an empire.
The Donald Trump of cyberspace.
Your reserve is always low. So the next time you purchase a set of vintage clown figures or a Mama's Family Betamax box set, be sure to use PayPal and give positive feedback to Mr. eBay, Captain of Industry, a real American hero.
Mr. eBay, Captain of Industry.
You made how much off that autograph, Kevin Cutter?
Now, from high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, Susie.
Good morning, Sam. How are you?
Good. Good morning to all our listeners. Today is Wednesday, August 13th.
Yes, it is.
Yes, and you look all like flushed in.
I'm extremely sweaty right now. I do apologize for that. I've got a little bit of swass going on in the studio.
That's cool, but you managed to put some makeup on and everything.
I showered and I put makeup on before I actually got on the bike to come down here.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
What's it like to ride without makeup on? My God.
It's not so bad.
I think it sort of just smelt on your face.
No, I don't know. I went with the waterproof mascara in particular today. Oh. that way I wouldn't have the streaks coming down my face.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we should tell the listeners why you're saying all
go ahead.
I decided to ride my bicycle today from Venice, where I live, all the way downtown. And it was a little bit more of a longer ride than I expected it to be.
Yeah.
I don't know. You just get your momentum up on Venice Boulevard, and then all of a sudden you hit a red light, and you've got to slam on the brakes, and then you've got to get going again.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think I might do it 1 or 2 days a week if you can handle it.
I can handle it. I mean, can you? Shit. I can't ride down the street without starting to breathe hard. But
well, that's because you smoke too much.
Yeah, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. I've never been into sports, so. But that's cool that you you do that. So, so you don't know how many miles it is. How do you think? Like 15, maybe.
I would probably go more like 20.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So maybe like 24 actually.
24 miles, and it took you what, an hour?
Yep, took about an hour.
Wow.
So maybe an hour and 15 minutes.
So it's cool. I mean, you get your morning exercise and you get to work at the same time.
And I get my afternoon exercise. The only thing I'm a little bit worried about is you know how I have absolutely no idea where I am I always have to follow my GPS blindly around. So I have my GPS in my backpack with me right now because I'm going to look at more apartments after this. And yeah, so they're going to get sweaty Susie too.
Cool. So last night you were looking for places around here?
Yeah, actually I found a really cool place, but it's slightly in the ghetto.
No, don't do that.
Actually, yeah. I was on the phone with a friend in Massachusetts, and he was like, well, if you think it's the ghetto, I don't want you moving to the ghetto, so you go ask that Sam. Yeah. I think that Sam is a nice guy, and he'll tell you if you should live there or not.
I'm telling you, you shouldn't. There's actually a few lofts down here on the way to the parking. Have you seen those?
No.
It's a pretty nice building. You might want to check it out. I'll tell you exactly where it is later.
Cool.
So, well, that's cool. I mean, if you lived around here, that'd be awesome, huh?
I know. I was just trying to think, like, logistically. It makes more sense, to be commuting downtown 5 days a week, that really doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Like the rest of the sheep, you know, that are like on the highway every morning. And I'm like, this really sucks.
Yeah.
So instead, I could commute out of downtown 2 days a week to go to work in Malibu. And then, you know, I could just be down here.
That's true. That's true, too. I mean, they're really making this downtown be like a cool place to be, you know.
I know.
It's not there yet, but a lot of people are living here now.
Yeah, it just seems
they've got
fun.
Some really nice buildings, you know, not in this area, but if you go more on the other side of the freeway and stuff.
Like Koreatown?
No, not really.
That was kind of where I was yesterday, which
really?
Is why I kind of thought it was borderline ghetto.
Yeah, no, you don't want to live there.
Had to pick up a new language and everything.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Ay, ay, ay.
So, are you rested this morning?
Did I am
some
extremely
rest?
Well rested last night. I don't know, I just kind of had a really mellow evening and, you know, cooked dinner and stayed home and checked out more apartments online. And then, I don't know, after talking to Satin yesterday, Franz came home after he had a wonderful day of work, too. He was actually doing a photography shoot at Sharon Stone's house.
Yeah,
which I thought was pretty cool. I didn't know that he was doing that yesterday.
Yeah.
But so we took some of Satine's sex advice, and
and
we had a very nice evening. Let's just put it that way.
Really? Did he listen to her? I mean, or you told him what she said?
I did some of the things to him that she suggested.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, yes.
I'm not even going there because I think I know.
Don't go there because you won't like it.
No, I won't. So how was it? Was it fun?
It was actually really fun.
Really?
Surprisingly, it was new uncharted territory for both of us, shall we say.
Yeah. Wow.
Jeez. It's a little early in the morning for this.
It is. My God. And yes, we're talking about the nether regions, but of course.
Go figure. You and me talking about things like this?
Yeah. No, it's impossible, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. So I've been getting even more calls and everything of how great we are together and
really?
All that. Yeah. So it's really amazing. You know, I mean, I this thing is really taking off and I'm really happy.
I know. Me too. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so we've got two guests. We have a caller who's a singer.
Ooh.
And then we have a guy coming in. I hope he's going to show up. And he's part of a play that they have. And it's a pretty interesting one. I think you'll connect to it.
Hmm.
You know? I mean, I haven't really checked into it, but it sounds pretty cool.
I was wondering why we never had like other male guests on the show. It's like, well, I always feel like we have a lineup of females.
It's by design. I figured, you know, I have a show, now I can get hot chicks in here all the time.
Aha! Is that what your little plan is?
Yeah, in fact, I'm writing off all the guys that are writing in.
No, there's
no, I'm
a,
kidding.
There's a guest I do want to invite in. I just found his email yesterday. I actually wrote it on my last paycheck for my old job, so I specifically wouldn't lose it. And then I ended up losing the check because I'm a ditz, and then I found it again anyway. But this guy's actually pretty cool. I picked him up at a coffee shop, which is why I was telling you I wanted to get little business cards made, because people are constantly just like, oh, hey, like, hey, baby, what do you do? I'm like, actually, I'm a radio talk show personality, darling. And then they're like, no way, really? That's so cool. And I was like, well, if you think you're worthy, maybe I'll let you on our show.
Yeah.
And this one guy from Germany, my lizard actually attracted this conversation. He comes over and he's like, what is this on your lap? Again, that was a French accent of some sort. Fuck. Damn it. Okay, sprechen Sie Deutsch. Wiener Schnitzel. No, so he comes over and was like, what is this on your lap? And I'm like, it's a lizard. And, you know, I started chatting with him. And I was like, what are you doing here in the States? And he's like, I'm here on business. And I was like, okay, what kind of business? And he's like, I sell blow-up dolls. I was like, whoa,
really?
Buddy. I was like, tell
people
me more.
People still buy those things?
Apparently.
Wow.
You know what?
Because you know they have like real dolls now. Have you heard of the real dolls?
Oh, trust me. Yeah. I've heard of them.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the show Nip Tuck?
No.
Oh, my God. Okay, I don't really get that into, like, TV shows, but, like, there are very few that I really, really, really like.
Right.
And this is one of them. I mean, it's just sick. And by sick, I don't mean like, oh, that's sick, like cool. I mean like just like nasty,
yeah.
Nasty, dirty, sick.
Really? What, they're showing you all the surgeries and everything?
Well, they show you all the surgeries and everything, but just like the plot and the storyline behind the whole show, it just gets really, really gross.
Really?
Like an 18-year-old boy who was adopted by his mom, but it turns out the mom used to be a guy and had like a sex change, and then she only sleeps with 18-year-old boys that aren't sexually experienced because she has like a shallow vagina and like they don't have any experience with it, so they won't be able to tell the difference.
Uh-huh.
It spirals out of control. Yeah. But anyway, there's an actual Kimber blow-up doll on the show that's a real, real, real live doll. That can just do everything, and it's amazing the kind of dolls you have out here.
Yeah, I mean, they look like when we went to the Erotica show here, they had one that I actually got to touch, you know, and it's like they make it perfect.
Where did you touch it?
Perfect breasts on the breasts, of course. I cupped them, and but then I looked below, and it looks very real.
Wow.
Yeah, it looks very real, and I mean, I still can't imagine who would spend. I think it's like $6,000-$7,000,
up to like $10,000 for these things.
Yeah, yeah. And to fuck a doll, you know, and then, I mean, what? You have to clean it up and everything.
Yeah.
It's kind of gross, you know, and...
Fold it up, stuff it in the dishwasher.
Yeah. I mean, I'd just be curious to try one to see what it'd be like.
I know.
You know, but yeah, who knows?
They should have like a little fucking booth for the dolls. You can try one at the LA Erotica, you know?
Yeah, they should.
Wrap yourself up and...
Yeah. Can you imagine people doing a gangbang with a fucking doll?
That would be so gross. Oh, I don't know. Speaking of like gay and gangbanging and things, I was looking at this the little bit of news that you sent me earlier, and with the University of Nebraska and the wrestling team and the poor guys that got kicked off of it for posing in gay positions.
Oh, really? I haven't heard of that. Yeah.
I don't think they should be kicked off the wrestling team. I mean, wrestling is the gayest sport out there anyway, so it's no big fucking surprise if they're going to be out there like posing on a gay porn site.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think about that? Do you think they should have been kicked off the team?
Well, I don't think it's because they were on a gay site. I think they just posed. Were they nude?
It says, the two were booted from the team after it learned they had posed for pictures that were posted on a gay porn website. A spokesman for the university says the history of behavior of these men, including the current matter, does not reflect the standard of excellence we aspire to on and off the mat.
Yeah. So they did mention the word porn. So obviously they were in there probably doing some action and shit too.
Well, if you're over 18, you should be allowed to do these kinds of things.
Yeah, but you can't represent a school like this.
Why
you know?
Not? You know, my boarding school is like, you know, very proudly lesbian.
Yeah. I know, but, you know, I mean, it's not, I don't know, do you think if you had nude pictures taken of you, or let's say a hardcore porn, that they would keep you in school if they found out? You know they wouldn't come.
I don't know.
There's no way. I mean, no school wants to be associated with this stuff, you know?
Well,
they just don't. And especially when you have a wrestling team, you know, I mean, they're supposed to be
the
gayest
sport out there. Ew. I can't stand wrestling. I can't stand watching. It creeps me out. It's just so gross.
Really?
Yeah. I'd rather watch like gay sex than watch wrestling. It's just those little unitards they wear.
Have
Please.
You ever watched gay sex?
Does it count if it's a threesome?
Of course.
Well, if it's like two guys, two
not,
guys and
not
a girl.
In real life, even in porn.
In porn, yes.
You
yes.
have?
Yes, I have.
I have. Wow.
And I'm not, I don't know, I'm fine with it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks kind of weird. I mean, because, you know, you're not accustomed to it.
Men are, when you watch, like, two men kiss, it doesn't look as sensual as, like, two women kiss. Yeah. I don't know, I think of all the facial hair, like, the two, like, scruffy beards rubbing up against each other, and it just looks very abrasive to me.
I know, but that's the least of it. Just imagine the sex, my God, you know?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I mean, to see a man with his legs in the air and stuff being taken is just not a pleasant sight, you know?
Actually, Franz and I were talking about you this morning, and I was like, you could thank Satine for what happened last night. And he's like, really? And I was like, yeah. And I was like, you've got to listen to the show to find out. And he's like, well, what does Sam think about all of this? And I was like, well, actually, Sam didn't really, he wasn't really on board with a lot of it. He wasn't opposed to it for other people, but not for himself.
Said, yeah, I just said that I'm not into anal and I'm not into fetishes, you know, but I wasn't knocking it by any stretch, you know. I mean, yeah, people should be able to do what they want, and if they want to do crazy things, let them, you know. I mean, I'm sure there's stuff that obviously turned you on in that, you know. So, I mean, I have my own hang-ups and stuff, you know, so it's not...
Don't we all?
Yeah, so it's not like, you know, I mean, I'm not looking... at people weird because they're like that. In fact, I liked her very much, and I was thinking about it, and I thought it really turns me on when women are that horny. You know, it's like,
yeah.
I mean, she's actually analyzed her sexuality and figured she's got, what, 6 different kinds of orgasms and shit?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my God.
That was amazing.
You know? Yeah.
I'm jealous. I would like to figure that out myself.
Yeah. Have you ever had vaginal orgasm?
Never.
No.
Never.
But I mean, you're in the majority, obviously. But you know that I was reading, there's a book called Bonk. Okay.
Bonk. Oh. Bonk.
Yeah, B-O-N-K.
Bonk.
Bonking, you know, like...
like blanking?
Yeah.
Boink.
No, it's actually banging someone. That's what bonk is.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's like a slang word. Not used that much anymore. But there's a book that I'm reading now, and it sort of like talks about the science of sex kind of a thing, you know. So they were explaining, they were analyzing that very thing, like why do some women orgasm, you know, without any clitoral stimulation.
Mm.
And what they found is that it has to do with the distance of the clitoris from the opening.
Ah, so like we were talking about yesterday, like everyone's different. Everyone's different down there. And also squirting. Have you had any experience with that?
No, I have not had experience with that.
I had a very good friend of mine in Massachusetts.
I won't use
his name.
I was going to tell you that we shouldn't use names anymore. You know, I mean, some people may not.
I'll call him Joe.
Yeah, okay.
That's not his name, but I'll call him Joe.
Joe Schmo.
So he was telling me, he's like, oh my God, I was dating this girl and I was sleeping with her and she's a squirter. And at first I was like, ew, mm-hmm. I don't want to hear, but like, what if she pokes your eye out? Like, ah, you know what I mean? That's like really gross. And then Joe became obsessed with like squirters porn.
Mm.
And he was the one that always uploaded my computer with my hard drive with porn for me,
right.
Because he had a whole external hard drive of it. And so he always would come over and like share the wealth, you know?
Right.
But yeah, he totally got obsessed with that. And like, he tried to get me into it. And I'm like, ew, no. And he's like, you've got to try it. Like, you can't just try it. You can't just make yourself do that if you can't do it.
No, no. So, and that has to do with the G-spot. I mean, have you discovered yours?
No.
Yeah. You see, that's the thing. And I like that you haven't, because people started making me feel like I'm weird or something, that I've never really experienced G-spot before with a woman, you know?
Yeah.
And God knows I'm doing everything that they say, you know? It's like, put your finger in and go for the top and all that stuff and sort of make a come here gesture. And,
a come here gesture.
Yeah, like this with your finger, you know? And
that is a good move, though.
Yeah. But it just hasn't
come
worked.
Come here gesture.
So.
I like how you could make a visual for the audience. Yeah. I was like, wow, that's good. Because I'm so visual with my hands, I usually have a hard time explaining something if someone can't see me.
Yeah. But you learn. Yeah, we have to describe everything we do, you know.
I know. Sometimes I forget that I'm actually on the air, and I'm sitting here like nodding my head, and I'm like, the audience can't hear me like headbanging over here. I'm like, oh, well.
We're all still learning, you know.
Yes.
Wow. So, this whole G-spot thing, I just don't get it, you know. Now, squirting seems kind of erotic, you know, I mean, to...
I think it's gross. See.
It probably is, you know, but...
like, my friend Joe said, like, it could go all the way across the room.
Yeah, but you know what?
Anything that's just that dirty for cleanup.
Yeah. Anything that has to do with the vagina, except the stench, is is something that's erotic.
Except the stench. What do you mean the stench?
Sometimes there's a stench down there.
Well, maybe she should take a bath every now and then.
Well, no, but the thing is that you guys sweat, you know? I mean, it's like, look, and I don't...
As I'm all swassy over here.
Yeah.
Do you know what swass is?
I mean, no.
Sweaty ass.
Oh, yeah? Swass.
Swass.
No, so, but no, I mean, regardless of whether you take a shower or not, I mean, it's just like a concealed area, and it smells, you know? But, yeah, I mean, for the most part,
That's why I don't like to wear underwear a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Does that change it?
Well, you know, you get a lot of fresh air recycling in and out, and you're driving, and your foot's hanging out the window, and you get the nice breeze. Keeps everything nice and cool and fresh. Yeah.
Okay, I'll practice that.
You really should.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know if I told you, I got pulled over once upon a time for having my foot out the window.
Really?
Yeah.
Driving?
Driving.
Well, why the fuck would you do that?
Because I was masturbating. I was driving cross country. It was like a 40-hour car drive, and I was like really, really, really bored. And you know what I mean.
So you figured you'd play while you're driving.
I played while I was driving, and the officer actually pulled me over. And he's like, "What in God's name are you doing?" And he sees my underwear in the passenger seat and my vibrator sitting right there. And he's like, "Oh my God!" He's like, "Have a nice day."
Really?
Yep. He totally let me go, and it was just really just kind of funny and random.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah.
You've got at least 3 books in you, you know?
Oh, I've got lots of little stories about those things.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of adventures with cops and stuff.
A lot of that. Actually, you know what? That used to be one of my biggest talents. I used to pride myself on it for the longest time, was getting out of speeding tickets and getting out of tickets in general. And just whenever I got pulled over, you know, I could make up the best story in the world. And my father used to get so mad. He's like, Susie, God damn it, Susie, you're never going to learn. You're never going to learn until you get caught and until, you get slapped and blah, 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 and thrown in jail and this and that. And I, to this day, like whenever I get pulled over and I get out of it, I call him, Daddy, guess what? What, Suzanne? I got out of another speeding ticket. He's like, God damn it, Susie. But yeah, so ever since I moved to California, I don't get out of shit. The cops here suck. They really, 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 really suck.
They don't let you get away with anything.
They don't let me get away with anything. Mm. I don't know if I'm getting older, if I'm not.
It has to be the top somewhere. I don't know what the fuck. But, I mean, we've always had problems with police here.
Well, that's why, I choose to ride my bicycle nowadays. You know, I have not changed my license plate over. And, you know, my car's kind of noticeable with, like, my pink bike rack. And, you know, nothing really matches on it with the Massachusetts plates. And I'm like, any little thing I could do to try and avoid being pulled over is good.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah.
A pink bike rack.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and imagine when you put the bike on it.
Yep.
And you have the out-of-state license plates. Yep. You draw a lot of attention.
And I have the music blaring, and I'm usually bouncing out of control in my seat, like dancing.
And you pick up guys at the intersection.
And I pick up guys.
Wow, yep. Yeah. You can't not notice you.
Can't help it. I want to try and blend in and be normal.
Yeah. So did you actually drive the car cross-country when you came
here? I did.
Really?
Actually, right before I moved to California, and I had a Volkswagen Jetta, but it was on the verge of, like, massive electrical failure. And so my mechanic was like, I'm going to reset it. You have half an hour to drive it to the dealership where you're going to trade it in. Mm-hmm. And that way they'll look at the car and they'll think everything's fine. Like, within half an hour, like, they're like, as soon as you trade the car, and it's literally going to explode. They're like, so get it in there, like, really quickly. And I'm like, okay. This is really funny. Let me tell you this quickly. So I have my two bikes on the back of my Mini Cooper. My car is just packed full of shit.
Right.
And I have my really expensive mountain bike and my really expensive road bike.
Right. But wait just a minute. I hate to do this to you, but why'd you bring up the Jetta? I mean, did you want to finish something about the Jetta first?
Oh, that car, no, not now.
Okay,
not
so you
now.
Just, okay, so I'm that,
just
that had nothing to do
just
with it.
Just tell me to pipe down
okay,
sometimes.
Okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
But so I have the bikes in the back of the car, right. And I literally, like, I'm on the New Jersey Turnpike, and I'm flying, you know, the music is loud, I'm dancing, and the bikes are in the back, and this guy pulls up next to me on the highway, and he starts yelling, and I'm like, I have a boyfriend, no, you can't have my number, and I pull up, and I speed away, and he pulls up again, he's like flailing his arms, and I'm like, thank you, I know I'm cute and fabulous, but I have a boyfriend, you can't have my number, and I pull forward again, uh-huh. And this happens three times, and then I get to a gas station, my bikes had fallen off the bike rack, and were dragging behind my car, the tires had actually caught on fire,
wow.
And the exhaust from my car, had burned a hole, like, through the tires. And so the poor guy is trying to tell me I'm dragging my bikes behind my car. And I'm like, no, I know I'm cute and fabulous. You can't have my number. So.
Now, how narcissistic is that?
I know. No, but the worst thing is, so I get to D.C., which was my first stop, and my bikes are just, like, half destroyed. I'm like, oh, my God. But so I buy new tires, and I fix the bikes up, and then I take off again. My tires, by the time I got to Colorado, were completely burned off again.
Wow.
And the same thing happened again. Another person pulled up next to me, and this time, I looked back, and the bikes were not dragging, but the tires had been on fire.
Wow.
They had completely melted off. And this happened three separate times, and again, it happened from Vegas to California.
Yeah. Do you think you should learn how to tie your fucking bike?
Well, that's why I bought the roof rack on top of the car.
Yeah.
If you look at my car today, like the exhaust pipe, it's half melted off.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm just a fucking idiot.
Wow.
Yeah.
You could have caused an explosion there.
I know.
Because it's close to the gas tank.
It was way close to the gas tank. My father couldn't believe that. He's like, Suzanne. He's like, you're such an idiot. Oh, my God. So, yeah, you don't really have the sharpest pencil in the box sitting across from you right now when it comes to some common sense things. So I do apologize.
Yeah. Now, what is it with your dad? I mean, obviously, he wasn't that easy on you, huh?
He wasn't really around, like, all that much. He worked a lot in the city, and I also worked a lot in the city. Mm. We kind of, I don't know, it was like, you know, two people that both had two completely different jobs, and we both had full-time jobs and separate lives.
Yeah. But when you were younger, too. I mean,
I'm talking about chess. When I was younger.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You were
from the time I was like 4 years old. You know, I had a full-time job, and so did he.
Right.
And so we just never really spent all that much time.
Yeah. Were you ever close?
We're close in the sense that we're both kind of the same. We're both kind of, I don't know, nonchalant about things, and but we also like skiing. Skiing is kind of one of the things that brings us together, and also golf. But he was hard on me. Like, to this day, I'll go and play golf with him. And, you know, I just want to have a couple glasses of wine or a couple beers on the golf course and have a good time. And I'll laugh if I, like, hit the ball and I miss the ball. Or I go to hit the ball and I'm like, ha, ha, ha. I'm like, what kind of shot was that? Yeah. And he'll be like, what the hell kind of shot was that? You think I had you in golf camp for, like, 20 years to make a fucking shot like that? And I'm like, but, Daddy, don't yell at me. Yeah, so actually for his 60th birthday, we all went to South Carolina, to Hilton Head. And my dad has a friend named Ozzy Osbourne. He's this... His name is actually Ozzy Osbourne, wow. But he's not the Ozzy Osbourne. Right. He's just this scrawny little skinny guy. I think he's from Texas. And so I refused to play golf with my dad for his 60th birthday golf getaway. I was like, I'm not playing with you, Father. I'm only going to play with Ozzy. You know, you make my blood pressure boil, or my blood. So anyway, I'm playing with Ozzy, and I'm playing really badly. And Ozzy's unbelievable. And I'm like, Ozzy, what do I do? What do I do to fix this? Sit your moneymaker down, sweetheart. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? Your moneymaker, sit it down. And so he like comes over and like pushes my ass like way low to the ground. Uh-huh. And he's like, now hit the ball. And so I go to hit the ball and with my moneymaker down, and beautiful shot.
Really?
Yeah, so that's all I needed to do was like have Ozzy like tell me to fucking push my ass down.
yeah. But, you know, I mean, it's understandable. I mean, you know, if I had a wild daughter like you, I would be concerned, too. I would be concerned, too.
No, that's the thing. I don't think he ever is concerned. I think he knows that I'm very resilient, and I kind of roll with the punches, and I can kind of adapt to anything and take care of myself. So I don't think he actually worries.
Oh.
Cool. I think my grandmother worries more.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you guys talk often?
My dad and me? Actually, every now and then, not so much. I told you next week, actually, I'm going to go to Vegas probably Wednesday after the show. Mm-hmm. And so if it's okay with you, I'll broadcast from there on Thursday, Friday. Way to put you on the spot.
Yeah. No, I'm going to take a couple days off.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you're going to enjoy yourself. You know, we don't need to worry about it. But so you're going to be meeting him there?
Yes.
No, that'll be nice.
He's putting my sister and me up in some hotel, so we don't have to drive him nuts. So we'll probably meet him for dinner and for gambling and things like that and take his money.
Yeah, do you guys play golf there too?
Yeah, he actually just moved to a pretty cool house on a golf course, so we're going to go check that out.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And we're going to do a lot of gambling. I really like craps.
Really?
Do you gamble?
Nah.
No.
No, I used to live in Vegas twice.
Twice. I heard once, but
I was there
twice.
In the 70s, and then I lived there in the early 90s as well. And never gambled.
Never
gambled, no. And I'm so happy that I never was attracted to it, because everybody that would gamble, people that I knew and would gamble, I mean, they would come home with no paycheck. You know? Yeah. So anyway, we got a phone call. Let's see who's calling. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's calling?
This is Lorelai.
Hi, Lorelai.
How you doing?
Hi, how are ya?
We're good. I gotta tell you, this name is like amazing.
I used to have my first Cabbage Patch doll was named Lorelai Emma.
Really?
Yeah. I haven't heard that name like since I had my doll. Aww.
In fact, the group Styx used to have a song named Lorelai.
Really?
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah, and you probably know about this. Did you? Maybe your parents were thinking about that and naming you, right?
I don't know. When was that song made?
Oh, that was in the 70s, so I don't know
the
how
70s?
Old. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that my dad named me Lorelai because, I don't know, he just really liked the sound of it. And there's like a whole story behind it. It's funny.
Yeah, well, do you want to tell us about it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the whole quote-unquote legend of the Lorelai is she was... She was this mermaid on the River Rhine in Germany, and she would lure sailors with her enchanting singing voice and make them crash into the rock.
Whoa!
I know. It kind of works out because I sing, so.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
That's true. And where are you calling us from?
I'm in Washington, D.C. right now.
Oh, nice.
That's where my sister is.
Oh, really? What part?
She is, where is she? In Georgetown. She is doing her residency at Walter Reed.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. How old are you, Lorelai?
I'm 18.
Oh, you're a youngin'.
Wow.
Are you old enough to listen to this show?
Well, we're going to be clean with you. But she is of age, technically. But no.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're a singer. You like to sing?
Yes, I do.
Right. And so what are you doing? You're starting your career now?
Yeah. I mean, I've been kind of working on it for a while now. I mean, it's been a work in progress. I don't know. It's kind of a long story. I kind of I moved out of my parents' house at age 15, and
well, I moved sounds familiar,
to Philadelphia
doesn't it?
Yeah. With an uncle.
Yes.
And I went to high school there because I'd been living overseas pretty much all my life, my parents' job, and I knew that, you know, if I wanted to make it, I had to come back home to the state.
Right.
Where overseas were you living?
I'm sorry?
Where were you living overseas?
I was in Chile at the time.
Ooh, amazing. Yeah, you definitely have to come back to the States.
Yeah,
I don't think Chile has a great music industry.
Yeah, so I came back and I went to high school here. I played the role of Maria in the High School Musical West Side Story. I met my manager here and I recorded my demo. And then ever since, everything has kind of been, you know, I guess falling into place.
Nice, nice. So did you start to perform? I'm sure you recorded some stuff already, right?
Yeah, the stuff on my which is myspace.com/LoreleiCarlsonMusic.
Okay.
I've got a bunch of recorded songs on there, including these songs off of my old demo. So.
Good, and we're going to play those in a little bit. I just need to find your MySpace. And so you live in D.C. right now, or are you just there?
Yeah, well, I live in Northern Virginia, actually, but it's borderline D.C., like about 10-15 minutes away.
Right.
So.
And is that a good place to start a musical career?
I mean, of course the best places are New York and L.A., but, you know, I'm working with what I've got right now, and D.C. is a major city anyway, so... You know, there's always a lot going on as far as the music scene.
D.C. is a lot of fun. It's beautiful over there. A little hot in the summer, but...
Yeah, definitely.
So that's great. Now, do you write your own songs, or do you have other people writing for you?
Yeah, I write all of my own songs. I compose them on the piano, usually. And, yeah, I've never really... I mean, I've sung cover songs before, but...
Right.
You know.
So, but now you're singing original music, right?
Yeah, yeah. All my music is written by myself.
Wow.
Do you plan on going to music school or anything? Or pursuing some kind of a professional degree for your music?
I mean, I would love to get into school eventually, but it's not really, I guess, being a music teacher or anything of that sort, it's not really my career path. It's more so wanting to be a recording artist and a songwriter. So I'm just, yeah, I'm working on the music full time right now. So
that's
I'm recording
awesome.
And performing a lot, you know.
Yeah. What kind of venues do you perform at?
A lot of local venues around here. There's a place called Jam and Java. They have a lot of open mic nights. A lot of festivals. I performed at Live on Woodrow Wilson Plaza last week on August 4th. That was a really nice turnout. That's a D.C. annual held event, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got some other stuff in store. I'm performing at this place called the 955 Club in September. And I'm also doing a charity event September 26th. So, yeah.
You sound so mature for your age, and that you've got,
she really
that you
does.
Have like your life together. It's amazing.
Yeah, she really does.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Now I'm gonna go to your page, but does the music start blasting as soon as it loads? Because if it does, I wanna be prepared to turn this off. So
as soon as it loads, I'm sure the music will start playing.
Yeah. Okay, so let's listen to one of your songs. I mean, I will let me just see what happens here. Yeah, these MySpace pages, man, they make me nuts.
I know. If I ever, like, go, I'm randomly on my computer and I click on someone's page, it blows you out. You're like,
Yeah, it is. Well, she's very pretty. You're very pretty, Lorelai.
And, thank you.
Sure. Where were you born?
I was born in Mexico.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, my dad's, like I said, my parents' job requires them to move around a lot, and his first post was Guadalajara, Mexico, and so that's where I was born. But I only lived there for about 3 months. I haven't really ever been back.
Right.
But it'd be nice to visit, I guess.
Yeah.
So having grown up mostly in Chile then, you speak Spanish?
Well, obviously, did you hear how she pronounced it?
I speak Spanish fluently, but I didn't grow up mostly in Chile.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, the pronunciation was great.
I know, I got the accent.
Okay, so Lorelai, we're going to play a first song here. It's called New Version, Think of You. And yeah, let's go ahead and hear this, if we can get it to go. Cool.
It's unbelievably beautiful.
Yeah, very nice. And you wrote what, the lyrics and the music?
Yes, that's correct.
Wow. And so how did you compose the music? Did you do it on your piano?
Yeah, I mean, I usually compose my music on the piano, and I mean, it works both ways. I might just write the lyrics down and have somebody produce. Right. So, yeah.
Oh, that's nice. And what do you write your songs based on? Your own experiences and stuff?
Yeah, it may be a personal experience, it may be somebody else's experience, or it may be a scenario or story that I've created myself.
Right.
Non-fictional, so.
Yeah. And you
I
know,
really enjoyed that. I would like to rock out in my car to that.
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool. Yeah, with your permission, we can play some of your songs on the station. And,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, thank you.
I wanted to tell you, Susie, that Lorelai is going to have her birthday in a few days, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. You're going to be 19?
You see, I do my research.
Yes.
I do my research.
Well, happy birthday coming up.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Do you have any plans for it?
I don't know what my mom has planned for it. It might be a surprise, but I think we might go to Six Flags or something and just, I don't know, spend
Sounds
time
good.
With family.
Sounds good, yeah. Yeah.
Very
do that.
Cool.
She's going to be 19, wow.
Oh, God, I can't remember when I was 19.
This is your birthday! Happy birthday to you!
Okay, we get the idea. So happy birthday.
That was a cute song.
So, wow, 19. You know what I wouldn't give to be 19 right now?
I wouldn't go back in a million years.
Really?
Uh-uh.
Your 19 wasn't that great?
That's when I joined the military.
That's
Hell
true,
no.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, well, Lorelai is taking a different path, obviously.
Yes, yeah, stay with your path. I don't recommend it for you.
Yeah. Are you thinking of moving to L.A. or New York to try and pursue your career?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to. It's just a matter of, you know, right timing and, you know, I mean, it's definitely in the books for me. I would love to.
Right. Have you sent your demo tapes to people in New York or L.A.?
I'm sorry?
Have you sent any of your demo music to L.A. or New York?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
I know, I talk too fast sometimes.
it's just my reception, but go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to know if you had sent any of your demo music to any producers in New York or L.A.
Yeah, I mean, we've been shopping to some labels, and I've been talking to people, you know, nationwide. I mean, so far, people have been really receptive. But, you know, the music industry is really all about right place, right time, right people.
Mm.
So it's definitely a work in progress.
Yeah, definitely. Wow, she's so mature.
She
is
so mature for her age. It's amazing.
Well, that's good. It helps you get started early, you know. And that's awesome. Do you have a boyfriend now?
I do have a boyfriend, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, he's very lucky. Tell him that.
I'll let him know.
Yeah. This is great. So let's listen to another one of your songs. Which one do you like, Just a Fool or The Way He Does, Without You? Which one should we listen to?
She's got several songs. I like Just a Fool.
Okay.
But I like all of them, but you know.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine, yeah. But you do have quite a few songs here. That's pretty cool. So let's hear.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's hear Just a Fool. If we can get it to go. Yeah, I don't know about this MySpace, man. It's sometimes it does its own thing, you know.
Yeah.
It's loading. Yeah, it's loading. So now you are you going to put out an album? If you because you recorded the songs, I guess separately, each one of them. Are you going to do you plan to do an album out of all of them?
Yeah, I would love to. I mean, I need enough songs for an album, of course.
Right.
But, I mean, I am writing a lot of new material. I'm hoping to get back into the studio sometime this month.
Right.
And eventually, I would like everything together and form an LP.
Yeah.
So.
And that'll be a lot easier to market and everything. But then again, you may want to get a label first, you know, and
right.
It'll help you
yeah.
with it. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Your song's not coming up here. I don't know why. Maybe if we try a different one, because this one's trying to load, and I don't know what's going on.
If you press stop and then play.
I did. Trust me.
Or you could refresh it.
There we go. The Way He Does, Lorelei.
He thinks I'm beautiful, even when.
I like it already.
Me too.
It seems impossible to hide these feelings I've got, and even though I barely know you, I feel as though.
Yeah, I'm really impressed with your voice. I think you really have what it takes, you know?
Yeah, I agree. It's absolutely stunning.
That's very nice of you.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. You know, I mean, we recognize talent when we hear it, you know?
And we say what we want here. We don't sugarcoat anything.
That's right. So if we say it, we mean it, you know? Wow, look at this. She's had 486,000 profile views.
Wow.
On MySpace. Now, that's a lot of times to be viewed.
486,000?
Yeah. That's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I suppose so.
What's that?
Yeah, I mean, it is a lot of views. I mean, I'm very thankful to anybody that's ever stopped by my page and taken the time to listen to my music. And I'm very grateful for, you know, the fans and the listeners that I've acquired ever since I found MySpace. So they've definitely helped me get there.
So how do you usually network yourself or your music or attract all these fans?
I mean, it's basically just a lot of self-promotion, a lot of posting bulletins, you know, creating fan groups and whatnot. And, I mean, now I've got fans making fan sites for me, and they're spreading the word about me.
That's awesome. So,
Yeah,
that's amazing. That's amazing. Well, you definitely have a great career ahead of you, and if we can help in any way to promote you, we definitely will. You know, this is great music, and I always love to listen to new music and new artists and stuff, and especially at 18, you already have a certain direction with your music, you know, and you know what you're doing.
She's got a great career ahead of her.
Yeah, and you got your whole life ahead of you too. So that's awesome, you know. And happy birthday to you, August 17th.
Yes, happy birthday. Wow.
Thank you so much.
Sure. And what about college? Are you going to have any time for college, or are you pretty much going to skip that?
Well, like I said earlier, I definitely eventually would love to attend college. But you know, take advantage of my youth and experiment and go forth with the career path I've chosen and work on my music full time.
There she knows. You see, she knows the power of youth. Okay, Lorelai, any other questions you want to ask her?
No, I'm just amazed. Amazing. She's so beautiful.
Wonderful. Lorelai, thank you so much for calling, and let's promote your MySpace. It's at myspace.com/ Lorelai Carlson with a C, music, right? And we'll put a link to your site as well on our website so people can see you. And when you have an album together, please send us one.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, and if you send me some MP3s or something of your songs, we'll play them on the station here between shows and stuff. So.
And I'll play them on my iPod.
Yeah.
Great, I definitely will.
Wonderful. And thank you so much, and say hi to everybody in D.C. there. And are you guys feeling like the commotion of the elections and stuff there?
I'm sorry?
Are you guys feeling like the elections in D.C., you know, like, is it more intense there, you think?
I mean, it definitely is a very political area. I'm sure it's the same as anywhere else, though. But, yeah, I mean, it's definitely getting very heated up now.
Yeah, wow. Well, and you get to vote for the first time, right?
Yes, that's true.
Wow, that'll be awesome. Lorelai, thank you so much. All the best to you, and maybe we'll talk soon. Again.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me.
Okay.
Have a great day, Lorelai. Bye.
Pleasure.
Thanks, you too. Bye.
Bye. She's very cute. Very cute.
Aw, I really like her.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
she's got her shit together.
Not only that, but she's got the confidence and the wherewithal to actually pursue what she wants, you know? When I was that age, I've always wanted to be a singer and a musician. You know, I've played the guitar, like I told you, for many years. I wrote songs when I was 16. Which I finally got to record like about a year ago.
Really?
Can you imagine after all these years?
I'd like to hear it.
Yeah, well, it's in Hebrew, so it's not going to make much sense.
You speak Hebrew?
Of course.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Why?
I don't know.
Why I was amazed when you came up with the Shabbat Shalom yesterday. I'm like, wow, you know?
I should save that for Friday, though, right?
Yeah.
No, I have a ton of Jewish friends.
Really?
Yeah, and actually a whole closet of Jewish ex-boyfriends.
Really?
But for some reason, they never wanted to introduce me to their moms.
Really?
Why is that?
Because you were not Jewish.
Really?
Yeah.
They called me a shiksa.
Yeah, that's exactly what they call it. That's in Yiddish, you know, it's not Hebrew. But it's very tough. It's very tough to go out with someone who's not Jewish and have your mom accept her.
It's I know. Trust me, I learned that the hard way.
But that's not to say that you don't have a lot of Jewish men marrying.
Nowadays, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And then they get totally alienated by the mother.
Oh. Not that I would want
to.
No offense, but I don't think I could ever handle a Jewish mother-in-law. Oi, oi.
They're not all that bad, yeah.
Oi, oi.
But so I think she's going to have a great career. But at any rate, what I was trying to say is that I always wanted to become big and famous and stuff. And but it was always like, get a real job, you know.
Aww.
So I got real jobs. And finally, now I get to do what I really want to do, you know. So
I don't know if I told you that my mom's a music teacher, classically trained singer, guitarist, and pianist. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't think she ever really had dreams of becoming a musician. Well, like a real musician. Mm-hmm. No, that sounded bad.
A professional?
Sorry, Mom, you are a real musician.
professional one?
A professional one, like okay. A recording artist or anything like that. Right. But my stepsister, on the other hand, she's a professional flautist.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, which is like, I always wondered, I'm like, how the hell do you have a career of just playing the flute? And, you know, she's like, she's 30 these days, and it's like, what does your stepsister do? She plays the flute.
Really?
It's like, well, how does she pay the bills? Well, she plays the flute.
I know, but it's admirable when some people can actually make money.
And she's just, like, so passionate about it, and I just really admire people that go out there and, you know, good for Lorelai for just saying, you know, she wants to take advantage of her youth right now and focus on her career. And
ignore the naysayers and just do what you believe.
Exactly.
You know? That's how you succeed, you know.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's because there's just too much competition there. If you don't do something to bring yourself to the top, it's tough.
I know.
All right, we're going to take our first break, and we're expecting a guest soon, so stay tuned, and we'll be back right after this.
Each day in gated communities across the country, an unsettling trend is appearing. The wealthy are less affluent than they were just months ago. But now, you can help by supporting the Save the Rich Foundation. For about the price of your mortgage, you can make sure little Buffy here can keep her butler, her beach house, and her American Express Black Card. You'll receive a handwritten note from Buffy's personal assistant, as well as a photo of Buffy spending your money at Tiffany's. Won't you please help? Join the Save the Rich Foundation today and make sure a socialite is financially secure. Because if the rich disappear, who are we going to idolize?
You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
It's intoxicating, if you know what I mean. No hesitating, slip away when seen. The sound surrounding, let it flow. I've got a green light, hey baby, I'm good to go. I don't need your anger, I don't need your pain, I don't need your answer, so I'm not listening. There's the rub, that's the catch, the whole done deal, the whole shooting match. What can I say? What can I do? Wear a different hat or pull a disappearing act on you. I don't need your anger, I don't need your pain, listening. No. Sound surrounding, let it flow. Need your answer, so I'm not listening. I don't need it. I don't.
It's the Onion Radio News. The ad campaign for the new $20 bill is a runaway success. This is Doyle Redland reporting. The U.S. Department of the Treasury declared the new multicolored $20 bill a raging success today, thanks to its $300 million multimedia advertising campaign. Treasury Secretary John Snow couldn't be happier.
The Series 2004 U.S. currency is the legal tender for all debts, public and private, and it's a smash hit.
Due to enormous demand, the Treasury has already ordered second and third printings. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio. You're listening to the best morning show on internet radio. It's Sam and Susie in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
You noticed we took out the Johnny, it's only going to last a week.
Oh, I did. Yeah. I didn't actually. I didn't notice that.
Because they realized that it's already past a week.
You're stuck with me, people. Yeah. For better or for worse, Sam.
Yeah, I'm telling you. So you have a legalized LA t-shirt today.
And you know what? I feel like such a ditz when it comes to wearing this shirt. The Franz gave me the shirt. He got it at the bike shop where he volunteers. And so I was like, oh, legalize LA? Hell yeah, I'm going to wear that shirt. Thinking it was with about marijuana. Right. And so I'm rocking the shirt. And all of a sudden I go to my old job in Malibu one day wearing the shirt. Actually, I rode my bike there on that particular day. And all of a sudden, all of my Mexican busing staff and kitchen people, they started clapping. They came up and they're patting me on the back and they're like, gracias, Susana, gracias. And I was like, oh, Antonio, I'm like, you know, gracias for what? And he's like, for the legalized LA shirt. And I was like, you smoke weed too? And he was like, no, this it legalized LA for immigration.
Oh,
I see. And I was like, oh no, I'm such a little ditz. I'm like, I can't believe that. And so I proudly wear it, and I'm just like, oh yes.
Yeah, but nobody knows. I mean, I didn't know that's what it meant. You know?
I thought everyone kind of knew about the whole American Apparel campaign. And you know, I told you the other day, I don't really pay that much attention to current events that I'm going to start. I really am. But yeah, so that was one of the first things. Just the whole kitchen staff, Susana, gracias, gracias. I'm like, you guys all smoke the marijuana? Yeah. They're like, no.
Now, you mentioned, you brought up your name, and I wanted to ask you, how come you didn't keep Suzanne? Were you always called Susie from when you were young?
Suzanne is just, I don't know, it's so formal, and I don't, it just sounds very grown up and mature, and I don't know, it doesn't really fit me, I don't think. Mm. My whole name, I don't know if you're ready for this, Suzanne Teresita Francis Raleigh.
Really?
Yes.
Sounds like a Mexican name. I mean, they have they put 10 names in their name.
I know. I think it's actually like the Catholic in me. Really? Because my grandmother's first name on my maternal side is Teresita, which means little Terry in Spanish, and she wanted me to be named Teresita as my first name, and I would have been Terry Sue. So it would have been Sam and Terry Sue in the morning.
That's not a bad name.
Ew, yes it is. So no.
Terry Sue.
Terry Sue, hell no. That's awful. Oh, wow. Or Susie Terry. Yeah. And then my dad was just like, no, I'm naming her Suzanne because my mom had picked the other. They're so cute.
Yeah.
I'm actually their foster mom. I'm not their real parent, if you will. But I got them from the West LA Animal Shelter when they were 2.5 weeks old. Their mom had been hit by a car, very sadly. Mm-hmm. And at first I thought, I was like, oh, this will be a piece of cake, you know, and they're going to be so cute and so easy. Oh, all right. If I think having like two kids to nanny for is hard, at first I had four kittens. Four little mouths to feed, and you've got to wake up every 3 to 4 hours in the middle of the night. And after I've had my 3 to 4 bottles of wine, you know, before I pass out, it's really hard to wake up in the middle of the night. And they're meow, 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 meow. And then they actually bit the nipples off the bottles at one point.
Really?
Because they're little savages. And I'm sitting there, like, trying to feed two, because I only have two hands, and there are four, and the other ones are actually clawing their way up my legs, like, latching their little fucking fingers.
Oh, God.
They're like, feed me, mommy. And I'm like, you little shits. But yeah, so if you want to adopt kittens.
Yeah, please do. She's got way too many.
Too many pussies to feed.
That's a lot of cats.
I know.
You know, even one is too many.
I'm the crazy cat lady now in my neighborhood. All my neighbors are like, Susie, really? You got three lizards, three cats, and the Franz. Yeah. Like, how many pets do you need in your apartment?
And it's a studio, too.
And it's a studio.
Wow.
And I don't know if I told you, my lizard laid eggs the other day, so I'm going to have lizard babies.
Oh, really?
Maybe you would like one, Sam.
No, thank you very
much.
Yes. It's so kind of you, so generous.
I don't mind. I'll give you a nice discount.
Really? Thank you very much. Maybe my son will take one.
Maybe your son would like one. Yes, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. But he doesn't like to care for them, so maybe not.
Aww. We
need to ask a question today for the contest.
Yes, yes. Right? What should it be?
Okay, we are giving away Wi-Fi radios. And we've been giving away one every week, and this week we're giving away one. I can't talk this morning. Fuck it. Bye. I'm going home. Anyway,
don't leave me alone. I'm scared.
So, $250 worth of radio, where you can hear us outside of your computer, which is awesome. And we've been asking questions. If you can call in and answer today's question, you will be eligible to call in Friday and.
Win the radio.
Yeah, and be one out of five who could win.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
Those are good odds.
Yeah, it's pretty good, you know? And I mean, if nobody calls, then they have less.
Yeah,
to compete with. But the question today is rather simple. If you listened yesterday, you would know. If you listened today, you would know the answer. And if you go to our friggin' website, you would know. And the question is, what is the name of the porn star that was on the show yesterday?
I was going to ask people say what line of work was our guest in yesterday.
Oh, I see.
we're on the same wavelength.
Yeah, I guess we liked her. She left an impression.
Yes. She affected my day and my night and my morning.
Let me tell you, I mean, I'll talk to you, and if I see what you have between your legs, man, I'm in love. You know? And she had some cool pictures.
I must say, I was back on her website again last night.
Oh, really? I was listening to the replay, and you were really hot on going there next week, right?
Oh, we're going.
Yeah.
Did you really mean it? Because when I say, that's something you'll have to learn about me, Sam. If I say I'm going to something, I'll go. Or if someone invites me to something, and I'll say I'll go.
Right.
Like if someone's like, oh, Susie, do you want to come to Africa? Yes.
Yes, you'll go.
I will go.
Yeah.
Like, I will do these things. And so sometimes people actually extend invitations and they don't really mean it. They're just being nice.
Right.
And so I just have to make sure, you know, I'm like, do you really mean it? Because I'm really going to come.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, you're going regardless of whether I'm going or not, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so.
But I was going to
don't worry about it.
I was going to dedicate my karaoke song to you.
Oh, wow. You see, that's the part. I mean, the karaoke, I don't want to miss out. It's just that it starts so late. Didn't she say like at 11 or something?
No, 9:30.
9:30?
9:30.
Okay, so.
And
that's
especially
cool.
Come with karaoke. I don't know. I'm not, and especially it's a place where I'm not really known. Back in Massachusetts, I was known.
Really?
I would walk into this little bar, and if there would be a line of like 20 people already like signed up to sing, the karaoke guy, he actually had a heart attack and died. not after my performance, but I'm surprised.
Thank goodness.
Surprised. but yeah, he would be like, he was from Ireland, and he's like, ladies and gentlemen, he's like, we've got a legend in the house. Again, with the wrong accent. Fuck.
You shouldn't be doing impressions.
I need a lesson from TJ or something. Have him help me. But yeah, so he's like, we've got a legend in the house. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Susie Raleigh. And I'm like, no, I haven't had a drink yet. You know, give me a minute to unwind. He's like, get up here now. And so every boyfriend in the bar, they would end up being like, oh my God. All of their girlfriends were slapping the boyfriends, like trying to drag them out. You want to go home with her instead? Fine. And it's not so much the singing, it's the performance I give with this particular song,
oh,
Sam.
Oh, really?
And if, with your permission, I might need you to be my prop next week.
Really?
Yes.
What kind of a prop is that?
You just have to sit there.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And let me do the rest of the work.
All right. You got it. No, I really want to go. And
or would that be considered sexual harassment in the workplace?
If you did what?
If I used you as my prop.
Depends where you're going to put me. You know? No, there's no harassment here. I mean, if we fucking say the things we do, there's no harassment.
Oh, I know.
We do whatever the fuck we want, you know.
Yeah, so you have to come.
Yeah. And but with me, it's also, if I say I'm going to come, I'm going to come. But what I'm saying is I'm putting a little if, and that is if something like related to the station comes up. But otherwise,
yeah,
I'm going to come. I usually don't go out that late, you know, because I work. But yeah, I would love to go. I mean, I love getting away every once in a while. We get to meet the porn star.
I know. And, I can't wait to meet her.
Yeah. And we get to sing. I mean, what more can you ask for? You know?
I know.
Yeah. So for those who are wondering, this is at Zardoz, right?
Yeah, Zardoz with an S.
Zardoz. And she mentioned it she pronounced it Zardoz. And that's why it was hard to find. S-A-R-D-O-S in Burbank. And our guest from yesterday is going to be there next Tuesday night, and we probably will be there too. So if you want to meet us,
here's your chance.
There's your chance. Our number is 818-602-4498. If you know the name of the guest from yesterday we're talking about, please give us a call and be eligible to win the radio. I don't see our guest showing up. They might flake out, or, you know, sometimes people are late because...
The parking.
Yeah.
Parking's kind of
the whole
bitch.
Downtown, nobody knows. You know, I mean, people live here for so many years, they don't even come downtown. Before we started here, I had lived here 32 years. I must have been here maybe four times.
Really?
Five times, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
How is that possible?
Because there's nothing to do here. You know, I mean, you only come here
when
you
have to. Well,
don't tell
me that. I'm thinking about moving down here.
Yeah, I know, but it's starting to change. But no, I can tell you that at night, there's not much happening on the streets here. You know,
well, that might be good for me. That would kind of keep me contained.
Yeah,
me. Contain the phenomenon that is Susie.
But at least you'll have a lot of room to ride your bike and stuff. And there's cool restaurants and stuff. It's just, you know, nightclubs.
I did kind of an asshole bike move today because I was really down to the wire with getting here on time. And I was like, shit, go bike faster. And so I did like a major bike faux pas and I went the wrong way, all the way up Flower. I biked against the grain with all the traffic. People are beeping. I've got buses in my face. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I actually want to have some of my biking friends or my cyclist friends on as guests because we're kind of really big into promoting bicycling instead of driving a car if you can.
Yeah.
And we kind of have borderline criminal activity, if you will, with one of our rides where we ride on the freeways during the height of rush hour with gas masks on, videotaping ourselves as we go, and we weave in and out of traffic. Some of us on tall bikes, and some people on rollerblades, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're protesting the fact that you want to reduce pollution or
we want to reduce pollution and have more people, you know, it's like we can get faster. It took me only 10 minutes longer to get here on my bicycle today.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That really is amazing.
I know. And, you know, it's good for my health. It's good for my ass. You know, you should feel that. It's rock solid.
Yeah, I would love to. But what about on the way back? I mean, you're going to be riding. It's going to be really hot.
Right? Probably.
I mean, it's going to be like the noon sun. I mean, that's really hot.
Well, yeah. As I told you before, I've got like 8 apartments to look at downtown.
That's true.
So maybe, you know, I'll stay and have lunch with a friend and, you know, just kind of relax and chill out for the day.
Yeah.
And see if I really do like being downtown because I need to start spending more time in the areas where I'm considering... you know, living.
Yeah, exactly. And really do ride around and find the best areas. I mean, you don't want to live right here in the middle of all the business district, but like I said, there's a lot of nice brand new apartment buildings that I've seen.
I kind of go for like the older ones, though.
Oh, you like older.
Yeah, a lot of the ones that I've been looking at have been like from, well, that I'm looking at today are all from the 1920s.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they've got a lot of like old school charms to them and like the hardwood floors and, you know, the vaulted ceilings and... I don't know. I just kind of, I've got like the old, the New England girl in me that just kind of likes little antique-y things.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. I'm not into that at all. You know.
Really?
So you probably like garage sales and shit.
Oh, yeah. I love them. Love them. But unfortunately.
I can't stand them. I don't understand getting other people's shit. You know?
It's secret treasures. Actually, back in Marblehead, there were these two lesbian estate ladies. And, you know, if someone died or if someone was too lazy to run their own garage sale before they were moving, like these awful lesbians. I hated them. They would come in and they would jack up the prices of everything. But so I ended up like one-upping them with this couch. I actually went through a phase when I collected a ton of couches. I had like, I don't know, like 12 couches in my, luckily it was a very, very large apartment.
Really?
But yeah, so I don't know, people were just walking around town. They're like, that's the girl that got the couches from the lesbians. They tried to sell me this used couch for like $1,000. And I was like, it's a garage sale, you little bitches. I was like, no.
$1,000 for a couch?
$1,000. I mean, it was a beautiful old antique couch that looked one of a kind. But at the same time, it's a fucking garage sale, you know? Things should be like a quarter or like 50 cents. And so like I left my name and number and I was like, if it doesn't sell, I'll have the owner call me tomorrow. And the owner called me and he's like, will you pay $500? And I was like, no. And he's like, well, what do you pay? I'm like, I'll pay you $20. He's like, really? And I was like, but you know what, buddy? I'm like, this couch is going to be loved. Yeah. And it was loved. If you can love a couch, I don't know.
Do you remember you bring up couches. There used to be a book, I don't know, some time ago with a red couch. And it was a photography book. And each page was a picture of a celebrity.
On a couch?
On the couch. You know, in different places.
Was it
places
a therapy book?
No. It was sort of like, I don't know, some photographer's thing. So I totally don't remember, but I just remember because it was a red couch, so it was distinct. And they'd put it like in the middle of downtown Manhattan or something. And somebody would be sitting on it, you know, or I don't know, wherever.
You know what? Coming, now that I think about it, couches really gross me out. The couch that I have now, I'm just like, I think about it, and you change your sheets on your bed.
Right.
But couches, you can't really wash a couch.
Yeah.
And I just think about all the people that I've had sleep on my bed, or on my couch, or and all the different boyfriends I've had with that same couch, and I'm just like, ugh. Yeah.
Now I understand why my wife keeps insisting on slip-on covers.
Yes, yes.
Because then you can wash them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow.
What was that beep?
I don't know. Nothing's on here.
That wasn't me.
No. It sounded like a computer beeping, right?
I know.
Yeah. I don't know what the hell that was. Spooky stuff, you know?
I know. Technology.
Yeah.
Freaks me out.
I know. Let's take another quick break.
Alrighty.
And we'll be back right after this.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman.
Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman.
Most people go to the airport bathroom to relieve themselves before their next flight. But not you. No. You're looking to become a member of the Ground Level Club.
Not what they mean by a layover.
You, Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman, voted against gay marriage. That's because you want to have as many partners as you can, in as many cans as you can.
A romantic toilet rendezvous.
Come on, sir. You are gay, aren't you?
That's not what I said on C-SPAN.
So the next time you're in the airport lavatory stall and see a polished wingtip tap, tap, tapping to make your acquaintance, run away. Or you might be the belle of the bathroom ball with Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman, a real American hero.
Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman.
You just missed your flight to re-electionville, mister.
You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk. Right here on LA Talk Radio.
He tried to tell her, and she thought it right. Hand in hand, they marched on through the night. He knew the answers she'd hoped to find. It'll just take a little time. Just a little bit of time. It wasn't easy, but how could they fail? Though love can blind you just like a veil. He knew the price was worth the strain. There was so very much to gain. So much love was there to gain. So high that they lifted off the ground. They locked themselves away in the magic they had found. Every day they tried to make paradise their aim. In the end there's nobody to blame. There's never anyone to blame. Avoiding the shadows, well they struggled on. Went up and down, did right and wrong. Misunderstandings were put aside, and the gap became too wide. You cannot bridge a gap so wide. Though they flew so high, they lifted off the ground. They locked themselves away in the magic they had found. Every day they try to make paradise their aim. Oh, in the end there's nobody to blame. There's never anyone to blame.
Do-be-do-be.
were no big event. Only time and the way that it was spent. They missed the signs to walk away. Circumstances made them stay. Much too late to break away. Oh, they flew so high, they lifted off the ground, and they loved themselves away in the magic they had found. Every day they tried to make paradise their aim. In the end, there's nobody to blame. No, there's never anyone to blame. Though they flew so high, they lifted off the ground, they loved themselves away. They had found every day they tried to make paradise their aim. In the end, there's nobody to blame.
In a world where shitty talk radio proliferates the internet, two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Susie in the morning, right here on LA Talk Radio.
And we're back. So this whole thing, what do you think of John Edwards caught cheating like this?
I don't know. I was thinking about it a little bit more, and I know how everyone says that, you know, he is in the public eye, and, like, we expect him to be honest and have integrity and da-da-da-da-da. And if he doesn't have it in his personal life, then he wouldn't be able to have it, you know, in his political life. But at the same time, I don't know. I really think that he's human and he made a mistake, and that's it. And he owned up to it. And
but he lied about it. You see, the thing is, when they asked him before, a year ago or so, or 2 years ago, he denied it.
Well, he said
so he's a liar too.
Well, he said that you know, that they were asking him things, and the things that he was actually denying were, you know, they actually didn't happen. Well, certain things didn't happen. He said like 99% of it was true, but like 1% of it wasn't. So he was using that 1% to kind of, I don't know.
Like his excuse was, "Oh, my wife's cancer was in remission at the time."
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, who gives a fuck, you know? How does that make it any better?
But I also think it's a private family matter for them to have dealt with privately, and I just think it's kind of shitty the way everything works out these days and gets put in the public eye.
But I don't think you have privacy when you're in the public eye. That's the whole thing. By definition, you don't. So you have to be prepared for that, you know? If you plan on being famous and known around the world and shit, yeah, you got to watch what you do.
I mean, yes, you do have to watch what you do, but I don't know. I just still can't help but see his side of things. And he did deal with it with his wife privately. And, you know, she was saying that he had come to her and confessed about the whole thing. And, you know, she wanted to keep it out of the public eye as well, because she honestly just didn't want to deal with it.
Right.
And having her whole life put on stage for everyone. And I don't know. I really think that some things should be able to be kept private and not, and I don't think something like that could actually necessarily affect what he's doing politically.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I feel that way. I just kind of do.
Well, I'll tell you why. I think I know why. Because for you, cheating is not a big deal.
No, I don't know. It is. I just try and think about, like, everything that Edwards must have been going through, you know, with his wife having cancer. And I can only imagine being married to one person for so long. And, you know, you just get bored and you got to try a little something else. And you've got to relieve the tension somehow that's going on in your life. I mean, being a politician's got to suck. Yeah. And, you know, you need to kind of loosen up every now and then.
Yeah, but, I mean, you can find other things to loosen up with, you know.
Maybe
I mean,
not.
When you make a commitment to someone, you know, you got to keep it, you know.
And well, that goes back to my saying that we shouldn't be making all these commitments to each other.
Well, yeah, but people are, you know. But, I mean, they're saying that one woman learned of her cheating husband when he told his mistress that his wife had died in childbirth.
I mean,
is that crude or what?
Oh, no.
Yeah. And then, they say people cheat for many reasons, like you said, including boredom and also a sense of entitlement, Yeah, like, hey, I deserve this and I can get away with it. And, I mean, because otherwise, how are you going to rationalize it to yourself?
Yeah.
I'm married, I'm committed, but here I'm going to go and screw this other person.
Maybe I will never get married.
You think, huh?
I think, yeah.
Does that scare you, that kind of commitment?
I don't know. It just seems like people are so fickle, and everyone changes and grows in different directions.
Right.
And the divorce rate is so high these days. And it's like, I don't know. I just really, you know, why bother going through all of the heartache and having that? And especially if kids get involved.
Right.
I mean, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know what? You have to remember, you don't get married for the sake of getting married or because somebody asked you to marry them.
For the tax break?
Or the tax break, yeah, or for the immigration papers or whatever. What you want to do is, if you feel that you can't live with that without that person anymore,
that you truly
want to be with them for the rest of your life, that's a good reason to get married.
How do you know you want to do something for the rest of your life? I don't know what I want to do for the rest of the day.
Well, no, I mean, but okay, so let's say for a long period of time,
okay?
I mean, yeah, nothing lasts forever, but you know, I mean, you committed at least for a few good years, you know, and
Why do you have to get married, though? Why do you have to have that piece of paper, like, saying so?
Because people want to start families and stuff, you know?
You could start a family without that, I truly believe.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, kids born outside of wedlock, it's still a stigma, you know? I mean, there's still...
Yeah.
I don't think it's a very pleasant thing. It's not fair to the kids, you know?
Definitely, yeah. Well,
so, you know, I mean,
sometimes it's not fair to the
things.
Kids to have two parents that are married that hate each other.
That's true,
or that
too.
Are fighting all the time.
That's
I mean,
true
it can
too.
Be a much... less healthy environment for those kids.
No, absolutely, and that warrants divorce, you know, but what I'm saying is when you first get into it and stuff, you know, people want to just feel like they belong somewhere, you know, and they do say that married people generally have are happier with their sex life than singles are, you know, maybe because they always have it available, I don't know, but that's what they say.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've read all the same studies too.
Yeah.
But it's like, say you get married and then you have kids, and then like marital satisfaction goes down, way down.
That's true.
After you have the first couple of kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough, you know. I mean, when you think you have to be with the same person for so many years, it is tough, you know. But you tell yourself, you know, what the hell? I want to be with this person, you know. So.
Well, to each their own. That's why you can get married if you want to get married, and why you can get divorced if you want to get divorced,
there
and why I have the option to never get married.
There you go. And you know, I mean, just from the little I know about you, you probably wouldn't find happiness in marriage. Or maybe later on in your life, you know, because, I mean, I do see that side of you as well. But right now, definitely, you're not even close.
Well, as I think I've told you, I know I've been engaged 4 times.
You're right.
And so I kind of, and you would say, well, if you don't want to get married, why get engaged 4 times?
Right.
And it's like, I don't know, I always just kind of had like this sense of wanting to be settled down, maybe.
Right.
And I always thought that was kind of the answer. It's like, oh, you want to settle down? Oh, you've got to get yourself a husband and, you know, be a nice little housewife and make breakfast, lunch, and dinner and da-da-da-da-da.
Well, but it doesn't have to be that way in a marriage, though. You know, I mean, modern marriages are not like that.
I know, but I always kind of had this urge to be that way.
Oh, you do want to be that way.
I had. Okay. Had is the operative word there. Not so much anymore.
No, huh?
I don't know. Now I just kind of feel like I'm really getting into my life and, I don't know, having a 9 to 11 job every day. People are so funny. They're just like, oh, well, here you got a real job. And I'm like, yes, it's 9 to 11 every day. And they look at me with this dumbfounded look. They're like, you work 2 hours a day?
Yeah.
I'm like, yep. It's very difficult.
I've arrived.
This is me.
That's funny.
I know. But I'm telling you before, like, it actually gives me a lot of structure in my life, and I really do kind of appreciate that, even though when 6:30 comes around in the morning, I'm like, I hate you, Sam.
Yeah,
I hate you,
I'm
Sam.
I'm sure. I'm sure.
I hate you, I love you. I hate you, I love
you. I'm sure when you leave here at 11, you love me because you have the whole day still ahead
of you. I have
the
whole day. It's amazing all the things that
really
I can accomplish.
Cool. Yeah, really is cool.
Definitely.
I mean, you know, you get up at 12, 1 o'clock like you like to do, and half the day is gone.
Well, I don't necessarily like to. It's that I'm usually such a night person that I don't know. I can't wake up.
Yeah.
Like even the Franz was saying this morning, I made him come to bed with me at 10 o'clock last night, and he just kind of resisted. He's like, no, no. But once he got into bed, he's like, huh. He's like, I'm actually tired. I think I can go to bed now. And so then when I went to wake him up at 6:30 this morning, he's like, no, I haven't had 8 hours of sleep. And I was like, yes, you have. He's like, get up, because that's usually his excuse.
Yeah.
He's like, well, maybe I need more.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, let him have more.
No.
No.
He needs to get up and do some work. I'm like the Nazi girlfriend now.
So has everything been forgotten from Sunday night?
Kind of. I don't know. I kind of am one of those people that, I don't know, I forgive, but I really don't forget. Mm. And I kind of just like to rub things in faces at every chance I can get. When Janique was in town, she was saying, she's like, Susie, you've forgiven him. You've taken him back. Let it go.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of like, okay. I need to step back from the situation and stop being so emotional about it and just kind of, she's right. I've forgiven him. I've let it go. And that's that. Yeah. And speaking of her, she wants to come back to California. She loved it here so much.
Yeah, I'm sure.
She wants me to get her another plane ticket to come out here this weekend.
Wow.
I think it's because she wants another one-night stand, but...
Yeah, is that what she wants? Why, she can't get him there? I mean, for crying out loud, she could probably get any guy she wanted.
Oh, she totally could, but when she's in Colorado, I don't know, she's kind of... I think it was easier for her being out in California and being pretty far removed from her situation, because when she's in Colorado, she gets very emotional, and, you know, she's involved with her school, and she also has her two... main ex-boyfriends of her life that she absolutely loves, loved one and still loves the other, and it's really hard for her to do that when she's there.
Oh, okay.
But actually, I was talking to my friend Michael in Massachusetts, and he's like, "The only reason you've turned her into a little slut, being friends with you." I was like, "Thank you very much."
Yeah, but she wanted to. That's why she hangs out with you.
I know. I'm like, "Thank you, Michael. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. Very kind of you."
So it's probably because she was kind of disappointed the first time. Maybe she wants to try it again the way she pictured it.
Yeah, or maybe, I don't know. She said the guy sent her a couple text messages wanting to make sure she got home okay. I mean, he really was such a nice guy.
Yeah.
Couldn't have been a nicer guy to fuck on the first date.
Yeah, but apparently she wasn't 100% satisfied, so I don't know.
Well,
I think... That's what it's.
Yeah,
sounded like.
I think that... I don't think it was necessarily the sex. Like, I think it was just the idea of, like, someone that she didn't know.
Right.
She'd known this person for, like, 12 hours.
Right.
Meanwhile, and she'd always known other people for at least a year.
Right.
And known them, like, intimately, you know...
So it was just weird for her.
It was just weird.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a one-night stand?
A lot. Yeah.
Oh.
In fact, I have one that's really memorable. You probably don't remember, but because you didn't live here at the time, but they used to have a Chippendales here.
Oh.
You know Chippendales,
yes.
Right? For male
yes,
dancers.
Yes, I do.
Male strippers. So back in...
Where
the,
is this going, Sam?
Well, back in the 80s... Well, let me tell you. So this was in the 80s, and I was in my 20s, and, you know, looking for... new ways to pick up chicks and stuff. And I read somewhere, I think it was Los Angeles Magazine, that after the show, they let men in. And I thought, fuck, you know, this would be like perfect.
What do you mean let men in?
They let men in after the show, because it's only for women, right?
Yeah.
Okay, it's a male stripper show,
oh.
And they allow only women. So after the show, they let men inside as well. For the women to mingle with.
Oh, I gotcha.
So, yeah,
they're all horny. They're not going to go home with the hot men.
That's what I told myself.
No,
I said, "Fuck! They're probably so horny at the end of the show. This is a perfect place to go." So
oh, no.
I took my friend and we went there on a Friday or Saturday night or something, and we're waiting for them to let us in.
Sneaky.
And they do. So we go in, and the moment I'm in there. This chick is next to me, and she's like, "What are you going to have to drink?" You know, and I'm like, "Well, I don't know. Whatever, you know. Let me buy you a drink." She's like, "No, I'm buying." You know, so
very nice.
She bought me the drink.
Independent woman.
Yeah, and so we're talking a little bit and stuff. The place is packed. Okay, my friends nowhere in sight.
Meat market.
Yeah, meat market. I mean, just rubbing against each other, pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah, and so we start talking and everything, and I'm like. Do you want to go have a joint outside? And she's like, yeah, you know. So we go into my car. I had a Nissan 300ZX at the time. So it's a two-seater, a sports car, right? So we go in the car and stuff, and it was kind of a chilly night out. And
so you put your arm around
so
her.
So we lit up. No, not really. I mean, we just lit up a joint, started smoking it. And then we reached, you know, across and started making out and shit. And before you know it, she's like on top of me, riding me, right? And
on the driver's seat?
Yeah, on the driver's seat.
Oh my god.
And we just kind of pushed the backpack and but this was like, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, I don't fucking believe this. I mean, it's like not even 10 minutes after I went in there. You know? So and the windows are steaming and everything, you know, and she's just going wild and stuff. So it was great, you know, and then we get out and we go back inside, you know, and she like ripped half of my shirt apart, you know. I mean, I had like a shirt with buttons and stuff, so she ripped that up and I'm going inside with a fucking shirt, you know.
You look like you've been mauled by a wild animal.
Yeah, so she takes me in there and she drags me to show me off to all her friends, right? She was with a group of like 10... 10, 12 friends or something. And they're all just looking at her like, what the fuck are you doing? Because it turned out she's married, you know.
What?
And yeah, so she just went for an eye. Well, I don't know. What the fuck you want
didn't
from
you
me?
Notice the ring on her finger?
No, she didn't have one.
Oh, bullshit.
She didn't have one.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Besides, I don't look at these things anyway. But, yeah, besides, what do I care? You know, I'm going out. She's got to be the one that feels guilty, not me.
I have a vision of, like, watching, like, I don't know, like, two animals on the Discovery Channel. And just, like, rawr, and she just, like, drags you back in.
Yeah. That's funny.
Is
that's
that TJ?
Funny.
I think it is TJ.
Oh, yeah, it is TJ. We thought it was our guest.
I sent him a message yesterday. I was like, TJ, I was like, you need to come back on our show and come entertain me.
Yeah. Yeah, he loves you too. He was talking about you and everything. Yeah, pull up a chair, TJ.
I like your green shirt.
This is our TJ McCormick, the Noon Man, and he's at 10:30 already.
I thought you said the Nude Man.
Yeah. Oh, no.
The Noon Man. Yeah. And he loves coming here, so he might as well just live here. Right?
I can't.
Oh, no. Hold on. Are you two or three?
No headphones. Okay.
Okay, that's better.
So this is TJ McCormick. And
is that better?
Yeah.
Hi, honey bunny.
Good morning. How are you?
So you remember Susie, right?
I do.
I'm sweating Susie today.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I rode my bicycle here.
Do you believe she rode from
Venice
to here?
5 million miles.
You rode here from
Venice?
From
yeah.
Venice.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So we're getting old, TJ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just got an email from the Franz a minute ago saying, he's like, it's more like 15 miles. And so I thought.
Oh, is it 15 miles? Okay.
So that's still pretty good.
That's dangerous,
that's
though.
That's
fine. I was just reading the whole thing in the Daily News today about how they're trying to make, about how just how dangerous a bicycle city Los Angeles is.
Oh my God. You have no idea what it's
death
like out
defying,
there.
Death defying, man. Yeah. Death defying. And they're gonna put in a whole system of paths and...
Really?
I almost got taken out by two buses. And the worst are like little kids because their parents really don't like keep track of them or keep tabs on them. Yeah. And they just dart out in front of you like the very last second. And I'm like, fuck. I'm like, you little bastard. I'm like, get back.
Yeah. No, it's dangerous.
As I'm barreling down the street with my iPod and I'm like in my own little world.
Yeah. Oh, that's where you want to be. You want when you're riding a bike in LA, you definitely don't want to hear anything.
I definitely don't.
You don't want to hear somebody screaming or a siren or something.
Yeah.
Like that. No.
But you know, I got to tell you, when you drive around though, you have so many things to pay attention to, especially other drivers.
Yep.
That bikes sort of like are secondary to notice, you know?
You know,
they're hard to notice.
The worst is being doored. I actually haven't had it happen to me, but it's happened to a ton of people. And so one thing, actually Tyler Hamilton, he's a professional cyclist. Mm-hmm. He always gets caught in the media for drug doping, blood doping, not drug doping. But his father actually took me to get my road bike back in Massachusetts. Mm. And so he taught me, he's like, Susie, when you're riding on these roads, he's like, you have to look in the passenger seat of every car you drive by. So not only am I trying to like make sure, you know, that a bus isn't going to take me out on the left, but I'm constantly looking at the road, at the potholes, at the lights, and also in every single driver's side door to make sure some idiot isn't going to open the door and I'm going to go kabam.
Yeah. You know, I tell you, it's the thing is that you got to it's kind of like the way you got to drive around here. So one of the biggest problems. Now I've driven in every state except Hawaii. And Alaska. I've been in every state except Hawaii, and I've driven in every state except Alaska and Hawaii.
Mm. Okay.
And by far, the worst drivers in America are in Miami.
Yes.
The Miami metro area are the, hands down, worst drivers. It's very much... The area takes on the personality.
Right. Mm.
The personality of the area is manifests itself in the driving.
In the people, yes.
And Miami, fast, crazy, insane, very Latin, very... they drive like they're doing a goddamn salsa. You know what I mean? It's like, take it over here, over there, over here, over there, over here, over there, over there, over there, you know. And by the time you're done driving in Miami, you're sweating and you're horny and you need a cigarette and it's just amazing.
Wow.
New York... New Yorkers are very bold. They make their moves, but they're very controlled, and they know what they're doing. In New York, somebody will cut you off, but they use their directional. You know that you're about to be cut off in New York, all right?
Yeah.
Here in L.A., self-centered, entitled. I'm driving here. No, I'm going to go. I'm going to take this lane. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
If it has,
for
like,
no fucking reason, right?
F you, F them, F your mother, F my mother. I'm going in this lane. And the thing is that they do here in L.A., they are the worst, I believe, trained drivers, because rarely will you see someone. My father, I wanted to punch and kill my father when he was teaching me how to drive. However, I think the best driver I know,
yeah,
because I do everything so anally,
right?
And it has gotten me through 22 years of driving without a major accident.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
this is, but you don't see heads turn. When you're driving on the highway here in L.A., you have to look, like you said, when you're driving a car, you got to look. I am constantly looking at the shadows, at the silhouettes of the heads in the cars in front of me to see if they're doing what I'm doing.
That is
if
the equivalent. Looking, that is the equivalent of their directional.
Yes, it's exactly. And here in L.A., they will they'll make all their moves based on their wing mirrors.
Yeah.
They won't check that blind spot.
No, and they don't turn on the signals. Like
they
you
don't
said,
do the signal. Nothing.
And they'll move. They're you slower guys, than you.
Yeah. You guys, I'm a little bit guilty of that. You know, I have the New York driver in me, and that's the way I grew up. I apologize to everyone out there that's stuck
you
on
don't
the road
look.
With me. No. I do look, but I look and I sometimes I directional, sometimes I don't. It depends on how quickly I'm going to be cutting someone off.
You see, that's the thing is that's why I look, and there are people who will not do the directional and they won't turn their head. They'll just go with their wing mirror and I'm looking and I'm watching. And it's easy to make fun of me because I'm that kind of driver, but at the same time, take a look at the dents on my Cadilly. I don't have a ding on my Cadilly.
Yeah.
I have dents on all the, what, a Cadilly?
Cadillac, baby.
Oh. if you look at the front of any car I've ever driven, front and back, it's just like totally, just like little tiny dents, but they're all, I know, I did it purposely. Because if a parking spot is slightly too small, I do it, I told you before, I park by Braille, get out of my way a little bit, back here, get way out of here, a little bump.
You
and
are
next
awesome,
thing you know,
baby.
I wedged myself into that fucking spot, and whatever. I apologize to the Mercedes and the Beamer on either side of me, but fuck you.
Wow. Wow, okay.
Yeah. You know what the problem is? In many countries, it's required to turn on your turn signals.
Mm-hmm.
Here it's not.
No, it is.
It's not, because I see cops not turning them on.
Well, because they're cops. No, it is law. You have to.
It is.
Yes.
I've never seen anybody get pulled over.
You can get pulled over
because they
all
should. You know what? I got pulled over when I drove a cab. I was.
You drove a cab?
Yeah, I drove a taxi.
Oh my god!
I was a stand-up. I was a struggling artist. It was my. I couldn't be a waiter, so I drove a cab.
That's so funny.
It was awesome.
I want to do it.
Oh, it was awesome. You'd be great. You'd be awesome. You'd be.
But
awesome.
I'd have to know where I was going.
Well, you know. But anyway, here's
details.
The thing. I got pulled over. I was easy target. When you're a cab, you're an easy target. And I got pulled over one time for you'll hear about it called illegal lane change.
Yeah.
Or improper lane change. That's without using your signal and whatever. No, there are so many. Let me tell you. This is one.
I would love to have you as a cab driver.
I was awesome. I was, it was good too. It was really good. It was really, really good. For, you know, I hit it pretty well.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was all right.
Oh,
it was very sexy. It's very sexy. Yeah, a couple of older women, a couple of lawyers. It was very cool.
In the cab?
No, but like within moments. No.
I've always wanted to do it in a cab.
Yeah, well, yeah, you could have. You still could. Yeah, go tomorrow. That's all you got to do is just go. But no, it's actually one of the things I'm going to be talking about. People should be getting pulled over for this kind of thing. And the thing is that, you know, I was just reading in the paper. One of the things I'm going to be talking about on my show today is that, you know, man, we are – Los Angeles really is absolutely just a goof. It's a fake. It's a fraud. There are – we don't – you know, do you know that New York, Boston, Chicago, major cities, actual real cities, they have got basically double the amount of police that we have per capita. The per capita numbers are about double.
Are you kidding?
If we had what you should, when you go to New York City,
right?
You know, you go to Chicago, you see cops all the time.
I feel like I see cops all
everywhere.
The time here, though.
Well, yeah. But
maybe that's because I just am
not nearly in the numbers
the
that
law.
You should, though. I mean, you'll see, when you see a cop, not only are there street beats in New York and Chicago,
right.
guys on the feet,
right. uh-huh.
but you will see them, you'll see two, three at a time. I mean, you see cops. Here's the thing. If you did the numbers, right, if we had the equivalent per capita number of cops that they have in New York or Chicago, if we had that number, we would have around 18,000 cops.
Ew.
If we had the right, you know,
like
numbers.
Ratio, yeah.
Right. What we have now is about 900. We have about half the cops we need.
You know, I don't want to say that we don't have enough cops, because trust me, I feel like there's way too many out there as it is.
Yeah.
But like I will say, my old roommate and I, when we lived at a different place in Venice, we called 911 twice on two separate occasions because there was like, it sounded like a woman was getting murdered in the house across the street.
Mm.
And then another time, the house behind us was on fire.
Mm.
It like blew up in the middle of the night. Our house filled with smoke and we're like, what's going on? We look out the window and it's on fire. So what do you do? 911. 911, we're putting you on hold. We were on hold both times for over half an hour.
Wow.
I was like, you've got... And so when it comes to an actual emergency like that, I really felt like there was a dearth of cops in the area.
Yeah.
But you know, yeah, when I it know. Comes down to me speeding and changing lanes without signaling, there are way too many cops out there, and talking on my cell phone and smoking a cigarette and driving with my knee.
Yeah, no, we don't. We absolutely don't have enough cops here. We really don't. We absolutely don't.
And I'm glad you bring in the awareness of this in your show and stuff. Mm. You know, I think it makes sense because I wasn't even aware of that.
Oh, yeah. No, that was the first time I knew the real hard numbers. I just knew based on the visibility. Yeah. I just knew based on living here, and I just don't see enough cops for my liking. You know what I mean? And when I read the paper today, yeah, that's the numbers. Meanwhile, so we have half the cops we need. But, you know, Lord knows. You know, there was an interesting thing. Do you know that the city of Los Angeles, when you have an overly liberal, when you have an overly mushy, happy, you know, sweet little, you know, liberal type of frame of mind like Los Angeles does, you know, they'll do things like this. They'll have half the cops they need. They'll raise the trash fees. They'll raise the taxes and all those other things. But yet, they recently leased a former bunch of something new cops, and they used the rest of the money to give raises
to the other
cops, which is not a bad thing. I don't mind giving raises to cops, but also they gave raises to the civilians who worked in the police department.
Yeah.
You want to throw an extra couple of grand to the guys and girls in blue? Absolutely. But you don't go giving raises to just the people who type shit, you know? Yeah. So that's Los Angeles, and that's the kind of stuff that just doesn't fly, and it starts at the top, and that's why, you know.
You know, but it's amazing. Even when you look at movies, there's always the police department here has always been problematic, you know? There's always been, like, corruption here and all kinds of, you know, I mean, the Rodney King and the...
I just don't like the cops here because they don't let me get away with things.
Oh.
I was telling you this earlier. Yeah. It's bullshit. This is the only state I've ever lived in, and I've driven cross-country a million times. California is the only state that I can't, like, bat my eyelashes or, like, make some... At one point, you know, I had a two-year-old in the car. I had my bicycle on top. I was going, like, 5 miles above the speed limit, and so usually I'm just like... Or the cop says, license or registration. And I'm like, okay, military ID... You know, because usually they're like, oh, you were in the military. Have a nice day. The guy was like, thank you. And I was like, oh, it's so hard being a single mom, even though I'm just a nanny. I'm pretending the kid's mine. He's like, that sucks. I was like, fuck you, officer. Like,
you
really?
You needed
really
to actually do something to him. And even that might have been, you know.
You know, I pulled out all the big guns, and he was just like, nope, not going to work. And I was just like, really?
Wow.
So you know what? We might not have enough cops, but I think we should get some better ones when we do get
someone to play by the
rules.
How does
she define better ones, right?
The ones
that let her get away
single
with
single ones. The single ones. The single horny ones. We need more single horny cops.
Exactly. Ooh, officer, I've been quite naughty. Oh, my. Is that your nightstick?
Ooh. Oh, God.
Handcuffs?
You see, there you go. Yeah. And we're suckers for this shit.
Totally. You are a muse. You definitely are a muse. She is a muse. You really, you could get a job just being somebody's muse.
Oh, why, thank you.
Just to have you around. You know what I mean? Like an artist type. Yeah,
That's so sweet.
You'd be good for a guy like me. Yeah. You really? No, I'm serious. Like for like career stuff and for like creativity to like, you know, like a few hours a day.
Yeah.
You know, like that awful Sharon Stone movie.
But I got her first, so.
Oh, yeah, no, hey, no, she's your muse, man. But I could be a career for you.
Aww.
Just sort of hang out and like, you know, and like gauzy outfits and
TJ,
sort
you're
of
precious.
And make tea. You could do that. Gauzy outfits, make tea.
Now I'm just in sweaty spandex today.
But then again, that floats a lot of guys' boats.
Exactly. Like, would you care? No.
A million years, no.
No, I actually had a couple of guys whistle at me, and they were just like, yeah, I got a bunch of thumbs up. I'm riding my bike down here today.
Of course.
And I'm just like, thank you.
Yeah, well,
guys are constantly on the prowl, and...
I went through a red light and almost got hit by a car, and the guy like beeps, and then I turn and I smile, and I was like, I'm sorry, and give him the peace sign. And then he was like, oh, it's okay, and he like waves me on and gives me the thumbs up sign.
Yeah. You see, you abuse the privilege, sweetheart. Yeah, You're always batting the
eyes. I didn't want to be late for work, and it was my first day riding my damn bicycle down here. That's trying to save a little bit of money on gas.
And by the way, it was probably a nice rush coming here, but now the shitty part is going home.
Well, I'm going to look at new apartments today.
Where are you thinking about moving?
I don't know, but a lot of the places are downtown. Come to the Valley.
Yeah.
Ew.
No.
That's where sophisticated people live.
The Valley's no way. The Valley's for sleepy families. That's what it is.
You're looking.
It's
at
a
them.
Sleepy place. Yeah.
What are you trying to do to me, TJ?
Yeah, she needs to stay
keep
out
safe.
Here.
Keep you safe.
She belongs in the city.
Quiet.
She
nice
really
and
does.
Safe. You just come.
Or with the other freaks in Venice.
Well, Venice is the city. I mean, it's not the Valley. So
it's
anything
not valley,
that's not the Valley is the city.
But you get a place downtown.
Yeah. I know, like cute little loft or something.
Yeah. It might be pretty cool.
Well, you got all the money. You got all the money.
I have no money.
You could do.
I have no money.
You got your retirement funds. You got your 401k. You got your
Are you doing the math for her already?
I just based on that last time we talked, all the investment stuff your father had.
Remember?
You did,
do you remember the end result of that though? I got the veal for Christmas, the raw meat thrown
but
in my face because I squandered the money.
Well, you squandered.
I'm a squanderer.
I'm a squanderer.
I'm a squanderer.
Yeah, squanderer. I roam around and round and round. So who is the guest that I'm not?
The guest that you're not.
Who is what the guest mean? That you thought I was?
Oh, the one
guy,
that flaked. Yeah, the one that flaked and. Contacted me, wanted to come on the show, and then comes the day and they're not here. So you know what we say, F you. And, and if you think you're going to reschedule, I've got news for you.
Hey, did you, hear about the guy from 40-year-old Virgin who stabbed his girlfriend?
Yes.
I know him.
I just saw something.
No, I know
really?
Shelly.
CNN.
I know Shelly.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And the neighbor came in and rescued her.
Yeah.
Or else she would, 20 times apparently she was stabbed.
Yeah. Yeah. I know him. Like,
really?
Kinda, wait, you know him and her?
Well. No, him.
Oh,
him.
God.
I know Shelly. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I kind of like know him. Like, we have mutual friends. And,
how awful.
Oh,
what
my
is wrong?
God.
Like, reading the news today, like, there were like five other stabbings going on.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. I don't like knives. I almost poked my eye out once with a knife.
Yeah, don't do that.
His name is Shelly?
Shelly. Shelly.
Is he a comedian?
I know him kind of well. Shelly.
No. I just know him for a long time, but I only know him. His name is an Indian name. It's like
Hermiel. Okay.
Shelly something.
Because I know a Jewish Shelly guy.
Shelly Berman.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the one I know.
There's a lot of Jewish Shelly. No, this guy's like Indian.
Oh, okay.
No, there's
Dot
a lot of
Indian or?
Yes.
Dot Indian.
Yes, let's see. Shelly. Actor.
Shelly Malil.
Malil.
Jinx.
I got it first.
Oh, God.
All right, guys.
Yeah, Shelly Malil. 43.
Poor Sam's like, he's got the two kids in the studio. We're just like, na-na-na-na-na.
And here's the thing.
No, it's fine.
It's premeditated. This was attempted premeditated murder with special circumstances. She survived. If she dies
she
in the hospital, then we're talking about like capital, like death penalty kind of murder. This is
really?
Special circumstances, aggravated lying in wait.
How do you premeditate stabbing someone?
Well, it's the difference between, well, you plan it. You go, you break in, you hide behind a door.
You just decide I'm going to go and stab them,
But the premeditated also has to do with like the special circumstances, like hiding, lying in wait. Mm. In other words, you have all that time to think about it. It's weird how the law brings in human nature.
Right.
You know, they talk about, is it a crime of passion, a spur of the moment? It's still a murder.
Yeah, it's the motive. It's the intent.
Right.
You know?
And so this guy could be looking at the death. Either way, he's gone. He's gone. I know this guy. That's it. He's going to hardcore. His life is done.
Federal pound me in the ass prison.
His life is over as we know it. I mean, it's like, and I just called a couple of friends of mine who know him as well, and we were like, what the
fuck?
Oh,
no. Yeah. I don't know. I just don't think of stabbing as being something like, I think that would be like last resort. Last resort for me. Like, if someone broke into my house, you know, then I would grab the knife, and then I would maybe stab. Or
I've never hit anybody. Yeah. And like, I mean, I've hit like my brothers and my sisters. I think I hit my dad once, and like, or whatever. I was like a teenager. But I mean, in terms of like the real world, I've never been in a fight. I've never struck someone.
Oh, I was in a fight like 2 days ago.
Anger.
Look, I've got a bite mark on my arm. I've got bruises here.
What's that? A tattoo?
Yeah. Gypsy.
That's a weird. I mean, no offense, but that's a weird place. You know, post World War II.
There you go.
Everybody mentions that to her.
I mean, sweetheart, what are you thinking?
People come up to me all the time, and they're like, oh, were you in the Holocaust?
Yeah,
I'm
it's
like,
between
no,
your,
I was not in the Holocaust.
It's between her elbow and her hand.
It's
and
on my
it's
forearm.
Your forearm. There you go. On the bottom.
But it's in Gucci.
Where's,
it's in Gucci
where they
font.
Would put the numbers. Yeah, but she didn't. She probably didn't know that.
I did too know it when I got it there.
Really?
I liked the tattoo there. I liked to look at it. I wanted it somewhere where I could see it every day.
By the way,
well, you don't
now,
have
no
to apologize for it.
That shows you. No, I'm not coming down on you, but I'm saying that right there shows you like the world. Time is people. It's just. In my generation, I'm 40, you know, but I'm not that much older than her. But
yes,
like,
you are.
That's
but,
what you
but
think. Yeah,
yeah. But what
you
I'm
have
saying
great
is
chest hair.
What I'm saying though is that the concept would never. I mean, nobody I know my age would ever. Yeah. It's just weird the disconnect from like the Holocaust and that kind of.
But
thing.
I knew about that when I got the tattoo, and I still got
what
there anyway.
What possessed you to continue to do it?
I don't know. I like it.
Well, she's a rebel.
I'm a gypsy. And
you're a Nazi.
Okay, and on that note, or maybe not on that note.
Just
yeah, okay.
I'm a gypsy, not a Nazi.
We're at the end of the We're at the end of the show. Stay tuned for Gina Hendrix and Love Life Makeovers. Love Life Makeovers.
Maybe, yeah, oh, maybe I should stay if she can help me.
Yeah maybe she can. Or you could just kiss the two of you.
Oh, wow.
We could, you should stay in the two. You could just kiss.
I'm planning on having my lesbian moment maybe next week on Tuesday.
Awesome. Here?
Yeah. No. At a karaoke in bar Burbank, in the valley.
Oh, it's Sardo's?
Yeah.
All right, I'll go.
Thank you very much.
All right. We didn't invite you, but okay.
Oh, Tuesday night? Wait, porn star karaoke?
I can tell
you things. I know some people.
Oh, very nice.
I'll tell you off the air. How old are you?
26.
Perfect. I'll talk to you off the air.
Perfect. And with that, we're going to say goodbye, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
And now from high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.